Good morning, Hope Church. How is everyone today? I see very few of you are awake, but I am fantastic. I'm just like my friend Dick Kuyper. I'm fantastic. I'm so excited to be with you guys this morning, although I had some really weird dreams last night. I mean, really weird. You know, the kind where you wake up and you go, what? What was that? And people in the dream from so far, I'm like, where did that person pop up from? Has that ever happened to you guys? Am I the only one? Really? Okay, I got one. One guy that's with me. All right. All right. I'm excited to be here because I believe that God has a great word for us today. And I want to begin by asking a question. I love asking you guys questions, right? So here's my question. How many of you love getting on the expressway and driving behind someone that's going really slow? Yeah, I didn't figure that I'd see many hands. Okay, but how many of you have been in that situation? Yeah. I mean, I worked for Johnson & Johnson. I spent a lot of time on the road, and I found myself in that position many, many times. Now, how many of you in those situations exhibited incredible patience and kindness? Okay, now it's a sin to lie, so... But no, you're behind this person, and I know that you're sitting in your car and you're humming this Christian tune, right? You have this big smile on your face. You know, maybe you have a kind word or even a friendly gesture just to let your brother know that you love him. Or maybe you're actually saying a prayer for him for safe travel on his journey. Yeah, you guys laugh because that's not how it goes on the roads today. And that's not what I see. I mean, I see people in an incredible hurry, rushing around like we've never seen before. And I certainly don't see them acting kindly toward one another. If they did act kindly, we wouldn't have this phenomenon we now refer to as road rage. It's a real thing, right? Road rage. What about waiting in line? Who likes waiting in line at the grocery store? You know, and you get behind this guy that has 17 items in the 10 items or less line, and you know because you counted the items as he set them on the conveyor belt, right? And then they seem surprised when the clerk asks for money. Like, oh. Then they start fumbling around for their wallet or in their purse and looking for cash, and then they don't have enough cash. And then, which credit card do I use? Well, let me try this one. And then it gets denied. And then they stick the other one in there and they can't remember the PIN. This has happened to you, I know it. Now, is your reaction... Or is it more like, now which of these reactions from either of these situations exhibits patience and kindness? Which of these reactions exhibits love? This morning, we continue in our series of messages on love. And in this series, we are exploring this love that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, last week we learned that this kind of love is different than the other kinds of love that we see in the world. We looked at the different words for love in the Greek language. And we saw that this love that Paul refers to here is agape love. Agape. And it's the highest word for love in the Greek language. We don't earn agape love. Agape love is unconditional. Agape love is unconcerned with self. And really, it is only concerned with the greatest good of another. It's an unselfish love. Agape isn't born out of our emotions. It isn't a feeling. And it certainly isn't based on familiarity or attraction. Agape, friends, is quite frankly a choice. It's a matter of will. Agape requires faithfulness. It requires commitment and sacrifice without expecting anything in return. Agape love is the love that comes from God. 1 John 4, verse 8 tells us that God is love. God is agapos, meaning He is the source of this agape love. His love that He pours out on us, it's undeserved, it's gracious, it's sacrificial. God is constantly giving of Himself for our benefit. And this is the kind of love that we are to demonstrate to the world. Jesus makes that clear in Matthew 22, where He tells us to love God. It's the greatest command, right? Agapo God, love God. And then He tells us that we are to agapo who else? Our neighbors, right? Others. Love God, love your neighbor. The two greatest commands, love. Last week, we looked at the first three verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we came to understand that this love is important in our lives. How God's love for us can fill us to overflowing. And that allows us to not only love God back, but to love our neighbors as well. Two greatest commands. And we saw how without that love in our lives, all that we do and all that we say is worthless. We talked about that final day, judgment day, when we stand before Jesus and give an account of our lives, and we found that we very well may have used our spiritual gifts, and we may have engaged in ministry work, and we may have made great personal sacrifices. But if these things are not done in love, friends, we've got nothing, we are nothing, and we've gained nothing. So we agree with Paul that this love is critical. This agape love is essential. And Paul then goes on in the following verses, verse 4 and following, to describe what that love looks like in our lives. And he details 15 characteristics that represent the presence of this agape love in us. Now, a 16-week series sermon didn't fit with what we were doing for the rest of this year, so I kind of grouped them into pairs for the most part. So for the next 6 weeks, we're going to dissect what it is Paul is saying here about love. We're going to consider each of these characteristics. And what I want us to do, friends, is I want us to look honestly into the mirror of God's Word. Because we know that the Word, guided by the Holy Spirit, will give us insight into ourselves. The writer of Hebrews tells us that the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And that's what we want to do in this exploration of God's Word. We want the Holy Spirit to speak to us We want the Holy Spirit to convict us, and if necessary, to change us. Maybe a little bit uncomfortable at times, but it's going to be necessary for us to grow in our faith. That's the plan. You guys ready? Let's go. So today, we examine the first two characteristics of agape love that we find in 1 Corinthians 13. And we find them in verse 4. There Paul says, love is patient, love is kind. So today we look very closely at patience and kindness. So let's take them one at a time. Now patience is something that is talked about quite a bit in the Bible. In the New Testament, the words patience, patient, or patiently appear 49 times. 49 times just in the New Testament. So if the Bible talks about something that much, it must be important. So we need to sit up and take notice when it says that love is patient. And if you notice, it is the first characteristic that Paul mentioned. It's first in line. And that isn't a mistake. You know, he wasn't like, oh, what should I make first? No. Patience is incredibly important. Now, to get a better understanding of what it means to be patient, we need to look at the original Greek word. And that original Greek word is the word makrothumia. Makrothumia. Now, that word is made up of two root words in the Greek. The first one is makros, which means long, and thymos, which means passion or anger. So a more proper translation is long passion. In other words, waiting a sufficient time before expressing one's anger. You've heard of people being described before as having a short fuse, right? Boom, they blow up real easy. Friends, the truth is, love is the exact opposite of that. Agape does not have a short fuse. Agape is long passion or long suffering. And the way some other Bible translators word this is probably more accurate than the New International Version. The American Standard Version says, love suffereth long. I like that one. The Amplified Bible says, love endures with patience and serenity. The International Standard Version says, love is always patient. Modern English Version says, love suffers long. I think you guys get the idea. So love suffers long. Love is patient. And since God is love, God is agapos, then we know with certainty that God is patient or God is long-suffering. And we see this really throughout the Bible. We see it in the Old Testament. In Exodus 34, after Moses had asked God to see his glory, right? Moses wanted to see God. Been talking with him, now he wants to see him. Well, God tells Moses that it's not possible to see God's face and live, but he allows Moses to see a glimpse of his glory. And as God passes by, he declares his name to Moses. And this is what he says. He says, the Lord, compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger. In other words, patient, abounding in love and faithfulness. And David echoes these very words in Psalm 103 when he gives the reasons that we should praise God, right? He says, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He says, the Lord is slow to anger. The Lord is patient. God was patient with Jonah. You know, Jonah ran from his call from God, right? The call in his life, he ran from that call. Yet God was patient with Jonah. Eventually, Jonah did go and preach the gospel at Nineveh, albeit reluctantly. Even when Jonah showed no patience with the Ninevites, right? Because when he preached the gospel, he really didn't want to see them turn to God, but they did. And he was angry. He showed no patience. Yet God was still patient with Jonah. God was slow to anger. And quite honestly, we see God's patience throughout the Old Testament with the nation of Israel, right? Was God patient with the Israelites? Oh man, very much so. I mean, how many times in the Old Testament do we see that cycle of sin and falling away from God and then repentance and turning back towards God, and then they would fall into sin and idolatry again, and some prophet would remind them, and then they would turn towards God, and we saw that cycle over and over and over again in the Old Testament. Yet God was patient with the nation of Israel. Patient with us? Are we really much different than the nation of Israel? Probably not. In the New Testament, Jesus taught on patience. In Matthew 18, he tells a parable about two servants. Now, in this parable, a king is settling accounts with his servants, and one servant owed him 10,000 talents. Now, that doesn't really mean much to us right now, but to give a little bit of perspective on this amount, one talent was the equivalent of about 20 years' wages. So we're talking 200,000 years' wages, or something like 10 $1 billion in today's currency. Billion with a B. $10 billion. A debt that the servant could never repay. And the king orders him and all he owns to be sold to repay the debt. But the servant says to the master, "Have patience with me. Have patience with me. And I will pay all I owe." And in his mercy, the king forgave the entire debt. But this same servant came across a fellow servant that owed him 100 denarii, about $10,000. And he grabbed him and he choked him and he said, "Pay me what you owe me." And the second servant said, "Have patience with me." Does that sound familiar? But the servant refused, and he had his fellow servant thrown into jail. And when the king heard about this, he called the servant to him and he said, "Out of my mercy, I had patience with you and forgave your debt. Shouldn't you have done the same for your fellow servant?" Get it? Get the message here? God is patient with us. We should be patient with others. Everyone. What about Jesus? Was he patient with people? Yeah, he was. He was patient with his disciples for sure. I mean, how many times do we see the disciples completely missing the point? Almost like they're not even listening to what Jesus is saying. Jesus would teach them and tell them things, and very often it seemed like they just didn't hear. In Luke 22, at the Last Supper, Jesus had just told them that one of them would betray him, and that he would have to suffer and die and be raised on the third day. And a couple minutes later, these guys are arguing about who would be greatest in the kingdom. But Jesus didn't snap. He didn't get angry. He was patient with them. And Jesus is patient with us, because we are very much like the disciples too, whether we care to admit it or not. So love is patient. Love is long-suffering. True agape love is patient. Love does not have a short fuse. You know, Paul also tells us that love is kind. That's the second characteristic that he offers up here. And once again, to gain a better understanding of what Paul is saying here, it's helpful to look at the original Greek word. And that original Greek word is the word krestos. Krestos. It means to be full of service to others, to show oneself useful, to act benevolently. This kindness referred to here is generous. It's sacrificial. It is self-giving. It is typical of agape love. It's very close to the idea of mercy. Mercy being something that we don't deserve. What I want you to notice here is that this word is a verb. It's a verb. It's not an adjective. There's action associated with this word. So this kind of kindness, this kindness born out of agape love, it acts, right? There's action associated with it. It does stuff. When Paul says love is kind, what he's saying is if you love with agape love, it will show up in your behavior, in the things that we do. And last week we talked a lot about our conduct. Right? The things that we say and the things that we do. And we saw how they're meaningless. They're nothing without agape love. And when we understand the meaning of this kindness, we see that it is a direct result of God's love. Now, the love of God that comes and fills us, now that's our motivation. Right? It is the love of God that drives us. It is the love that He pours out on us that compels us, controls us. Only when we experience God's agape love can we then be obedient to the command to love and be kind to one another. And that means everyone. We are to be kind to everyone. God is kind. God is merciful. You believe that? Can I get an amen? Amen. It's true. God is kind towards us. Ephesians 2 reminds us that there was a time that we were all dead in our transgressions and sins. All of us, because of our sinful nature, are deserving of God's wrath and punishment. But, because of His great love for us, God who is rich in mercy, in other words, God who is patient, God who is kind, He made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our sins. It is by grace that we have been saved. Paul goes on in verses 6 and 7 of Ephesians 2 to tell us that God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. God showed His kindness to us by sending His Son to die for our sins. Jesus came into this world because He loves us. Friends, that is agape love. That is agape love in action. That is generous. That is sacrificial. That is self-giving. That is acting benevolently. That is kind. Do the result of that kindness that God has poured out on us should be our kindness to one another. Our kindness to our brothers and sisters in this church, but our kindness to everyone. In Ephesians 4:32, Paul tells us to be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. I go back to that parable of the servants and the patience and kindness and mercy that the master showed to that first servant. Yet that servant refused to show that same patience and kindness and mercy to his fellow servant. And the king punished that servant because of his behavior. And at the end of that parable in Matthew 18, Jesus says, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you show patience and kindness and mercy and forgive your brother or sister from your heart." And we cannot gloss over those last three words, from your heart. Because Jesus says this is something that must come from your heart. This isn't just lip service. Just saying it does not absolve us. Charles Spurgeon said it very well. He said, "If we forgive in words only, but not from our hearts, we remain under the same condemnation." The words, friends, must come from a transformed heart. And a transformed heart must result in a changed life that offers the same patience and kindness that we have received from God. If we are unable or unwilling to do that, we're really left to wonder if that heart has really been touched by God. So the question is, how deeply have you experienced and received the patience and kindness that God offers? If you haven't truly, friends, felt that in the depths of your soul, you're going to have a hard time being freely patient and kind with others. Personally, I look back on my life and I understand that God has been incredibly patient with me. Friends, you know part of my story. I turned my back on God. I didn't need God. I didn't want God in my life. All I needed was my alcohol and my drugs and my accomplices, the people that I called friends. But God was patient. And He waited until I came to the end of myself. And I finally figured out that what I had been searching for all along was God. I said I didn't need God when all I needed was God. Now, friends, I echo the words of Paul found in 1 Timothy 1:16. I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display His immense patience as an example for those who would believe in Him and receive eternal life. Patient with me. And God was kind to me. He showed me mercy. I was dead in my sins, just like Paul talked about in Ephesians 2. But God so loved me that He sent His one and only Son to die for me. For you. kindness. It's kindness. Friends, God is love. And God is patient and kind. And He commands us to be patient and kind with others. But I got to mention one other thing here. One other very, very important reason that we need to be patient and kind. See, no one is ever going to see Christ in your impatience or unkindness. We were placed on this earth to reflect the love of Christ and shine a light in this dark world. Never gonna happen if we aren't patient and kind. To do that, friends, we need to receive the patience and kindness that Jesus offers to all. The sacrifice that He made was for everyone. Anyone who believes in and calls on the name of Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior can reap the benefits of that patience and kindness, the forgiveness, the mercy, the grace. Friend, if you haven't received Christ as your Savior yet, I beg you to do it today. Do not wait. He's been patient with you. And He wants to fill you to overflowing with His steadfast love. He's waiting with arms open wide to pour out His kindness and mercy. And if you haven't done that yet, I pray that you would do it today. If you have done it, and you have made that commitment to Jesus, ask Him today to pour out His Spirit to help you have patience and kindness with everyone around you, so that we might reflect the glory and grace of God to the world. God will never stop dealing with us on the basis of grace, and will forever continue to unfold the riches of His patience and His kindness to us throughout eternity. God, our Father, we praise You, Lord. And we thank You. Thank You that You are patient with us. You are long to anger. And we thank You for the kindness that You pour out through Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, our only hope, Lord. We thank You for that. And Father, we pray that You'd pour Your Spirit out, empower us to be patient and kind with others. That's agape love. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Be patient. Be kind. Sounds easy, doesn't it? But I know that when you get behind that guy on the expressway, or you get in that line at the grocery store, I hope that it will remind you of the patience and the kindness that God has shown to you. And it's that same patience and kindness that we want to reflect to the world. I invite you to come back next week. We're going to find out more about love and what love means to our lives. In the meantime, go with this blessing. May the agape love of God, His patience and kindness, and the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit that allows us then to go out and live patient and kind lives. May that be with you this week and forever. Amen. Go in peace.